seen and heard in this amazing age of Zoom. We had a great desire to be with you guys this weekend, but it's probably 30 minutes before we were ready to leave, and we got a phone call telling us that Karen had been exposed to one of the nurses that had COVID. So we decided it would be best for you guys to stay here, but we're thankful that we were able to work it out and to be there in Zoom. And may the Lord bless his word this morning. You know, it's interesting. One of the brothers shared at the Lord's Supper this morning, or sometime during that time period, about the meeting that went on in Washington, D.C. yesterday. And to me, it was just amazing to watch all of that action that went on. We watched the whole program yesterday, and it was amazing to see what was going on in Washington, D.C. And we need it not only in Washington, D.C., but we need it all over the world. And it needs to start with us, doesn't it? You know, I was thinking about another message, but after yesterday and hearing what was going on in D.C. and all the prayer that was going on for revival and restoration and repentance in our country, I changed my mind and decided I would speak on the issue of revival. I know here in Reedville, we've got several churches that come together, and they've done it the last 2 years in October and had a week of meetings trying to revive the city of Reedville. But, you know, we need meetings like this, and we need this type of ministry going on in the church so it'll revive our country. You know, I think when we think of the issue of revival, I did some research in the Bible and found all of the different verses that dealt with revival. And I tried to put them all on one piece of paper and look at them. And I had a copy made to give everybody. But since I'm not there, I can't give it to you. But if you would like a copy of these verses later on today, just email me, jerrydenny@gmail.com. And I'll send you a copy of this outline that with all of these verses on it. But, you know, I think there are many people right now that's praying for revival. And back 20, 30 years ago, I know all the churches around here, they would have a week of revival meetings in the fall. But recently, I hadn't heard of any going on like that in the area of Reedsville. But I want us to think about revival. And revival starts where? You know, we hear in the prayer groups that I meet with, people praying that God would revive his work. But, you know, I think revival starts with us. And before it starts with us, it's got to start with me. With me. And I'm going to give you time to look at some Psalms this morning and different scriptures that deals with this issue of revival. Let's look at Psalm 138, if you would. And I'd like us to read these first 8 verses and look at what David is praying for. And remember, this is a man who is after God's own heart that's making this prayer. Listen to what he says there in Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me behold with and bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. You know, you think you, as you look at this passage here, David is praying that God would revive him. And here's a man after God's own heart that realizes that he needed to be revived. And he realized there in that last verse that he was the works of God's hands. Now, I want you to think about that. The works of God's hands. Who is the potter and who is the clay? I think we know very well that we're the clay, aren't we? And we definitely need to be molded and shaped into the perfect image of the Son of God, because Romans 8 tells us that that's what God is doing. He's working all things together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And he's predestined that he is going to conform us to the image of his Son. You know, we're not there yet. We've got a long way to go. But aren't you thankful that God, he's got his hand working on us through the situations of life and all of the problems that we go through in life. He's using them to conform us to the image of his precious Son. You know, in my Bible, I've got all kinds of little notes of great quotes in it. And I noticed this one this morning as I was reading. It says, if you seek to be understood, then dedicate yourself to understanding others. If you seek to be comforted, then dedicate yourself to comforting others. If you seek a greater faith, then commit yourself to planting in others. You know, we ask God to change our situations, but God puts us in these situations to change us. And that's what he's doing, isn't it? I remember a song we used to sing, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars and all the planets and Jupiter and Mars. But how long has he been working on me? He's been working on me now 74 years. And I am so thankful that he's not finished yet. But you know what Jeff Johnson, he says all the time, he says, I'm one day closer to perfection. Because when we're transmitted from here into heaven, we'll be conformed to the image of Christ and we will be like him. We've got a lot to be thankful for. But you know, when we're praying for revival, where do we need to begin at? With me. I'm the one that needs to be changed. And I need to be changed in such a way that people can look at me and see that God is still working on me and that he's working through me to reach other people with the good news of the glorious gospel. There's a psalm, look at Psalm 85. And you know, when we are revived ourselves, then we're ready for the next stage of revival. And that is revive us. Revive us. Well, you're turning to Psalm 85. I want to read a Psalm 80:18, and listen to what it says. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine up, and we shall be saved. Now listen to what it says in Psalm 85:1, and I hope you're there already. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. Selah. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease? Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Revive us again. Verse 7, show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. And that's what we want, isn't it? The glory of God to dwell in our land again, and not all of the riots and all of the rebellion that's going on in our country. It says there in verse 10, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. And that's what we want in our country, isn't it? When you think about here, revive us. He says there in verse 2, he says, you have forgiven. Isn't that what we need? We need to be forgiven for our iniquity. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we need that iniquity forgiven. You know, positionally, we've been forgiven for all of our sins, past, present, and future. But you know what? When we sin today, our relationship is hindered with God the Father. And so we need to have that relationship restored. And I think that when we see the churches, we see us come together like we saw yesterday in Washington, and praying and asking God to restore our land, we'll see that God will do that when he looks down from heaven and looks in our hearts and sees that we are truly repentant and wanting to be like his son. We want to be completely conformed to the image of his son. We want to be forgiven. But, you know, in there it says, you have brought back the captivity of Jacob in verse 1. Bringing back the captivity, that means that, you know, you were captive somewhere else. And now you're being restored and you're being brought back home, as it were. And that's what we need. It says there in verse 6, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? And that's what we want to do, isn't it? You know, I can remember in my life, and I've experienced in my life, Karen's life, the kids' lives, the grandkids, what is it that you want to see on each face? It's a big smile, isn't it? We want to see joy in their heart, but joy in the right thing. Joy in the Lord is the greatest thing that we can experience in life. And we get that joy from having our sins forgiven and God's wrath being turned from us. Verse 7 there in that passage says, show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let not them turn back to folly. Surely salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy and truth. Think about that. What happened on Calvary? Did mercy, God, look down in mercy upon us? And when he looked down upon us in mercy, he saw that we needed to be dealt with in truth. The truth is that we deserve to be nailed to a cross because of our sins. But what did the Father do? He allowed his Son to be nailed to a cross for our sins. And isn't it great? Aren't you thankful this morning that you were able to come together and to thank God for the great plan of salvation? It says here, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The perfect righteous one died for our sins on the cross. And what was the result of it? We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that we have been reconciled to God through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Revive us. Help us to be thankful for what he's done for us. And that's what we want. But you know, it begins with me, and then it goes to us, and then it goes to the work. When we are revived as a group, what happens to the work? The work will be revived, won't it? In Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, listen to what it says. And if you have time, just turn there. And you know the prayer here and what is being prayed for. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath. Remember mercy. Revive your work. And that's what we want, isn't it? It starts with me. Revive me. Then revive your work. Revive us. And then we'll see the work revived on. You know, Israel learned a lot during those years of captivity in Babylon. And Psalm 119 tells us a lot about that. But I want us to think about what kind of attitude does it take to humble us and to make us ready to be restored to the Lord and experience this great revival. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 57, who it is that God wants to revive. It's the humble and the contrite in spirit. In Isaiah 57, it says there in verse 14, and one shall say, heap it up, heap it up, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Isn't that what we're hearing today in all of the marches that's going on, except the one yesterday? Yesterday, there was a march of peace, wasn't it? But all the people are crying for the stumbling block. What's causing all of this stumbling block in our society? It's sin, isn't it? But listen here what Isaiah says. This is what God will do. This is what it takes in order for us to be revived. It says there in verse 15, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and a humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isn't that what God wants to do? But what's it going to take in order for our country, for the work, for us, for me, to have this revival and to experience it? It's going to take a humble spirit and a contrite heart. You know, isn't it amazing how a broken heart causes us to see things differently in our life? You know, I remember the old song that we used to sing, he washed my eyes with tears that I might see. And, you know, it's when we've got those tears in our eyes that we can see that God is really working inside of our heart. What we want to see is those tears in our eyes for joy because of what God's doing in our heart. But God wants us to come into his presence and confess to him the problems that we have and to deal with them before it's too late. You know, it says here in this passage, in Psalm, we can in the book of Psalms, look up in Psalms 119. And I think we see the word revive found more in Psalm 119 than we do in any other book in the Old Testament. In Psalm 119 was a book that was written after the children of Israel came back from Babylon. Now, it's amazing when you look at Psalm 119, the longest book in the Bible, or the chapter, I should say, but it's in the it's incredible what is in that psalm that deals with all of the issues of the heart and what we should do. In Psalm 131, Psalm 119, verse 33, listen to what is said there. And you'll see two expressions in these verses. A request to help God, ask God to revive us, and how he will do it. It says in Psalm 119, verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Revive me in your way. Isn't that how God's going to do it? It's when we do what he's saying here. Teach me. Give me understanding that I can observe what you've told me to do with a whole heart. I can put my whole heart in what I'm doing. Make me walk in the path of your commandments. Incline your ear, my ear, to your testimonies, and turn my eyes away from worthless things. You know what? The COVID has been good to keep us at home, some had it. But what's the main thing that goes on at home now since everybody's at home? It's the television, isn't it? And isn't it amazing the things, the covetous things that you see on television? And you see the results of it many times when you look at the news in the evening and you see all the wicked things that's going on. But revive me in the right way. You know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. If we go in our way, what's going to be the result? It's going to lead to death. But if we do it God's way, we're doing it the right way. We want to be on his road, that narrow path, and not on that wide path that leads to destruction. Revive me in your way. But look at verse 38 there. He requests something else. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. It's going to all happen according to his word, isn't it? His word is forever settled in heaven, and we can rest assured on his precious word. And we know that the one who wrote that word is absolutely righteous and perfect. And listen to what he says, revive me in your righteousness. Revive me in verse 37. Revive me in your way. And they go hand in hand, don't they? When you're revived in righteousness, doing it God's way, the right way, you find all of a sudden you're walking in the right way. And that's what God wants each one of us. Revive me in your righteousness. But, you know, there's so many verses in Psalm 119 that deals with this issue of being revived. And you know what? It's interesting. You'll find three verses that deal with being revived according to the loving kindness of God. The loving kindness. You'll find the revive me according to your word. There's three verses that deal with that. Revive me according to your word, and revive me according to your judgments. Let's look at these great verses. And look at Psalm 119. You're already in that chapter. Look at verse 88. It says, revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Isn't that amazing? Your mouth, God, is the one we want to listen to. And I want to be revived so that I will listen and keep your testimonies. I want to do everything that you've told me to do. And when I am revived, that's what that new heart does in us, isn't it? You know, we get a new heart when we get saved, but sometimes that heart gets corrupted, doesn't it, through sin. And we need it to be washed again. And when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin. But it says in verse 149 in that chapter, listen to what it says. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord, revive me according to your justice. Justice. Do it in the right way, just way. Don't do it in some way that's going to, we're going to find out down the road that it's the wrong way. But do it according to your justice. Look at Psalm 119, verse 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Isn't that a great thing to be? Don't do it in your anger, Lord, but do it in your loving kindness. You know, there's a song we used to sing, your loving kindness is greater than life. And isn't that true? How has God dealt with us? Did he deal with us by our loving kindness or his loving kindness? You know, all of us have gone astray, haven't we? We've turned everyone to our own way, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And he dealt with us as though a father loving his children and doing what was necessary to bring them back to him. I'm thankful for his loving kindness. But if you back up, go to Psalm 119, verse 25. And it says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I said it already. God's word is forever settled in heaven, isn't it? And who has the right words to tell us what to do, how to do it, to be revived in our hearts? And for us to see God do miracles in our hearts, in our lives. Here's another one of those word verses. Look at Psalm 119, 107, verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. I'm afflicted. I'm going through a lot of pain. You know, it's hard to imagine what pain we might go through if we end up with COVID. And just pray that when we're tested next week that it won't be there. Pray that little mask that nurse was wearing, working with Karen, that it protected Karen. But you know what? When we go through afflictions in life, so many times that's what gets us to listen to what God has got to say. Revive me according to your word. Look at verse 154 in Psalm 119. 154, it says, plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. You know, it's amazing how that those Israelites learned 70 years in Babylon that it's the word of God is the most important thing in life, isn't it? It's the word of God that is going to endure to the end of time. Heaven and earth may fade away, but not one jot or tittle of God's word will fail till everything is completed. Listen to what it says in Psalm 119, verse 156. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. God, you know exactly what to do, and whatever judgment that you bring out, whatever you decide to do, is going to be exactly what we need. Now, isn't that true? You know, I thought about this COVID disease. What's the worst thing that can happen to us? You know, the worst thing that can happen to us, we think, is to die. But what's the best thing that can happen to us? Is to die and to be ushered into the very presence of God. You know, I don't know about you, but for me, it's going to be a great family reunion. All but two of us are left out of the nine in my family, immediate family. But you know, it's going to be a great reunion up there, isn't it? The worst thing that can happen can actually be the best thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, think about some of these verses here of revival and so forth. You remember what happened to David in his life when David went astray? And he ended up saying, oh, my bones within me are withering. I'm dried up. And in Psalm 51, what did he pray for? He said, restore to me or revive me to the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Now, isn't that what we want to see? God to restore us so that we have that joy of salvation. And there's a big smile on our face everywhere we go. You know, it's easy to tell when somebody's happy when you run into them. It's interesting, the other morning we had been walking one of the trails here in Reedsville, the J.C. Park Trail. And we noticed that we had been able to pass out more tracts, to get into more conversations with people than any other place we've been. The other morning we were walking. And, you know, I noticed this lady when we got out of the car to start walking. She was looking at a little sign that had hardly nothing on the sign. But she was standing there and she didn't move. Then when she turned around and saw us walking, she started walking forward. And we walking a little bit faster than she was. And we got caught up with her. And all of a sudden, she turned her head to the other side. She didn't want to look at us. And you know what? We could hear her crying. We heard her weeping there. And she was just so discouraged. Four children had gone astray. And you know what? It was amazing. We were able to stand there on that trail and pray with her. And then we were able to walk another 2 miles with her in talking about spiritual things. It's amazing when the joy of your salvation is gone, what usually ends up in your eyes? It's tears, isn't it? And we pray for this lady that she will seek the Lord while he may be found, and that she will realize he is the one that's in charge of the circumstances of life. He's the only one that can rebuild things. I just want to look at one psalm in Ezra chapter 9. Look at in Ezra chapter 9 and listen to what the Israelites want to be revived so that they can do. It says in Ezra chapter 9, "For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem." Isn't that why we need to be revived and be revived? So that we can rebuild the walls. And you know what? There's places all around where the walls have fallen down, and it needs to be rebuilt. And it's, you know, when we're restored in our relationship with God, and all of a sudden that joy of salvation is in our hearts, what is it that it makes us do? We want to go out and do things for the Lord, don't we? And you know what? I think that's one of the best indications that we have the joy of the Lord in our heart is when we want to go out and to tell other people about Christ and what he's done for us and how he's the one that put that joy in our hearts. Praise be to his name. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. But when he restores to us the joy of his salvation, it'll also restore to us the joy of our salvation. And that's what we want in life. I just got a couple more verses and passages I want us to look at. It says in Psalm 51:12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit." Now, isn't that what happens in our hearts when we have been revived? We see a generous spirit. We want to do for other people the things that need to be done. And you know what? We all of a sudden in our lives, we see when we're in that right relationship with God, we start seeing fruit in our lives. Listen to what it says in Hosea. And I've got a lot more to cover, so let me just read this to you. Isaiah 14:4, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots in Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree, his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return, and they shall be revived like grain and grow like the vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon." What's the result of revival? I think it's easy. Joy, we see that. We see God producing fruit. And it's kind of like we just read here. God healed Israel's backsliding, didn't he? They had left God out of the picture and went their separate ways. But what did God do when he brought them back? He produced some fruit, didn't he? We've got so much to be thankful for. And I think here is in Psalm 139, if you want to turn there, there's two verses there that is put there by David, a man after God's own heart, but yet he even did some wicked things. Listen to what it says in Psalm 139, verse 23. This is what we need to pray. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lord, search me. He already knows what's in our hearts, doesn't he? Earlier in this Psalm 139, it says that he knows what we think before we even think it. But David is asking him to search him. And here he's asking him to search it so that he would know what's really in there. And he says, try me. And that's what the trials of life do, don't they? The trials of life reveal to us what's really in our hearts. You know, Spurgeon said, if you were to take all that I've learned from the good times in life, you could put it in a thimble. But if you were to take all the things that I've learned through the trials of life, I could fill up barrels with it. And that's true, isn't it? COVID is teaching us some good lessons. And I pray that it will wake up our country, wake up the world, and to show us we're not in charge of anything. A little bug that we can't even see has killed over 200,000 people in our country. And how many cases have we seen in our country? And how many in the world? Something you can't even see. Now, isn't that the way sin works in our hearts? We can't see it in our hearts, but when it works its way out in our mouth and in our hands and our feet, by the things that we think and do, and right, and what places we go, all of a sudden we see what's really in there. I think this is such a beautiful Psalm of David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what we want. You know, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want to close with this right here. It says in 2 Chronicles 7, 14, if my people who are called by my name, you know, here he's talking about Israel, and God spoke to Solomon at night and gave him this information. Are we God's people today? We are, aren't we? Are we called by his name? Whose name are we meeting in? Whose name are we saved in? Whose name do we acknowledge as Lord? I think we can take this verse and apply it in our lives, in our situations. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. We saw that earlier, didn't we? A broken and a contrite heart is what God wants us to see, that we're really sorry for our sins. And when we do that, when we see that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, what do we start to do? The next word there, and pray. Pray and seek my face. And you know what? When we come into the very presence of God, when we see ourselves in the presence of God, what do we see in our lives? All of a sudden, that perfect lamp exposes our wicked ways, doesn't it? Listen to what it says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what we want, is our land to be healed. We want our sins forgiven. We want God to hear us. We want to be able to pray and to seek his face and him hear us. You know, it's interesting. I'm doing a series here in Regal in this area on the book of Revelation. And I'm working in chapter 5. And I've noticed there that the prayers of the saints are one of the things that's in a little bowl of incense, is what it's described, how it's described. The prayers of the saints. You know, I think one of the greatest prayers that we can pray that I think would end up in that little bowl would be the Lord's Prayer. Let's close with that prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debtors as we forgive. Give us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom forever and ever, O Lord. And then we can pray, give us this day our daily bread. I left that out. But, you know, I think it's our relationship that's more important than our daily bread. And when we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, God will hear and he will forgive and he will heal our land. I think that's what we want, is precious healing in our land. And I think we want to see it. It's got to start with me, then us, then our nation. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you this morning and to share these thoughts. It's really struck my heart well. We just pray that the Lord would work in each of our hearts and lives during this time in our lives and learn the lessons that he's trying to teach us. Thank you so much. And I'll be around if anybody's got any questions. And if any of you would like an outline with all of these verses on it, just email me, Jared Denny@gmail.com, and I'll send it to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you.